All right, let's pray, shall we? Father, as we come into your presence this morning, as we have an opportunity to enjoy being together with these family members that love you so much, we're so glad to be part of the family of God. And Father, I don't know what we'd do without you. For all the things you brought us through this week, we know that you've been with us, seen and unseen, you've been there. And Lord, in the midst of this work, of this service, your presence and your power is going to be felt. And my prayer is that all of us will have our minds and hearts in position where we're focused on you and let the things of the world just grow strangely dim. And so, Lord, this is our time with you, and we ask you to be very real, and may we know that you have an incredible love for every one of us again. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you for the fact that you love us so much. You put us in families, and you're our Father, and you never leave us. You never forsake us, and you've given us your own Son who walked on the face of the earth, who literally identified himself in the flesh with us. And even though we have yet to see your Son or yourself or the Holy Spirit, we take it by faith, and we have to take it by faith because sometimes this life rocks the socks off us. And Father, for some, as we have heard, family members with broken bones and injuries, others have slow recuperation, others have had family members pass into eternity this week, others have just had diagnoses of different forms of issues, whether it's cancer or other scenarios. Lord, all of these things could overwhelm us until we look at you. And you remind us that you're in charge, and you remind us that nothing is random and that everything has a purpose in you, even if we don't see it this side of eternity. And so, Lord, I just pray for this family, for each and every one, for those that are concerned about their family members, for those that couldn't be here because of illness, and for Carl who had to go home because he's so sick. And thank you for his willingness to sing this morning. And Lord, for all that are needing your special touch. And we do pray especially for Suzanne and Richard this day. We know that you have continued great plans for them, and you are going to work in powerful ways, and you will be glorified. There's no doubt in our minds. And Father, for those that are traveling, we think of Linda as she heads overseas, your protection upon her, and others that are traveling, thank you for bringing the Golds home safely. And now as Beth prepares to start a new life adventure out on the East Coast, that you would go before in every sense of the word, that you would bring Christian people alongside of her, that she would have opportunities to share her faith, that she would have opportunities to see you work in powerful ways. And Lord, I want to say thank you to you for all that she has done in this church growing up, for all the years that she's played drums and for all the opportunities she's had to serve and to grow in this church like so many of our young people like Soleil and others. And Father, bless each of these young people as they head out under their life courses. And Father, we know one day we're going to be standing around the throne hearing all the stories. And so until that day, help us all to be faithful and be observant for what you're doing and where you're leading us. We thank you now. In your name we pray. Amen.
You are high and you are lifted up. And you're far bigger than any of our problems. You're far bigger than our frailties. You're far bigger than our endeavors, our dreams, our imaginations, our intentions. You are God and we are not. And in that, we have incredible security this day. And so it's our privilege, Lord, to exalt you, to lift you up, and to remind ourselves that you are great and greatly to be praised. And we do that humbly because we know who we are and we know who you are. Thank you for all you do. And God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Bless them. Talk to you for 10 minutes or so. I got a few ideas. Wasn't too long ago that my wife and I were driving down to the hospital in Hamilton to visit Leanne's father. And she said to me, John, what are you thinking? I said, nothing. She said, that's not true. I said, yes, it is. She says, not true. I says, yes, it is. I'm not thinking about anything. So we had a 20-minute discussion.
I still don't think she believes I don't think anything. Well, today we're going to share a few things that I've been thinking, okay? This is not coming out of my nothing box. This is coming out of my thought box. Last week, we talked about the election. And you remember the scripture I used that Daniel said in Daniel 2:21. And we have the following. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and he raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. He raises up kings and he puts down kings. We had a lady in our church in Etobicoke who had a boss who was incredibly mean, as well as sexually perverted. And she came to the service one Sunday and she said, I need prayer. I need to know whether I can stay in the job, whether I can retire in 2 years. I need to know what to do. And we as a congregation prayed with her. And she had a great measure of peace. Well, 4 months later, we moved up to Wasega Beach. That was the fall of 1994. I don't know how this occurred. Do you ever have situations where you don't know how they occurred? But here's what occurred. I happened to be down in Toronto a little later that year, and I happened to pick up the local Etobicoke newspaper. And here on the front page was, so-and-so, CAO of such-and-such a company, has been arrested and charged with, dot, dot, dot. I phoned the lady up, and I said to her, so what do you think? She knew my voice right away, and she said, God knows how to work. She was able to finish her career. And she retired. And as far as I know, she's probably just spent a month in Hawaii with the Golds. I don't know. She may have been with them. I don't know. God raises up kings and he removes kings. And so I want to tell you a story straight out of Scripture that I think is very fitting for this, because I think a lot of us in our lives, we go, well, God, are you really in charge? Do you really influence change? Do you really confront people? Do you really fight my battles? Do you really? And I want to read this to you out of Daniel chapter 4. And it's interesting because Daniel is the one who, if you want a story of faith, read Daniel. Lived through 6 different kings. He was taken in captivity as a young man, grew up in a foreign country, even had his name changed. Everything was radically different. But this is a particular story about a king that he was working under, and his name was Nebuchadnezzar. Now, first question, can anybody spell Nebuchadnezzar? Does anybody want to try? Fair enough. Nebuchadnezzar the king, and I'm going to read to you a number of verses of chapter 4. Listen to it, and then Richard, as we read through this, is going to have several pictures to just kind of illuminate what we're saying. Nebuchadnezzar the king, to all people, nations, and languages that dwell on all the earth, may peace be multiplied to you. And so in a sense, he's writing to the world. It seemed good to me to show the signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed towards me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and prospering in my palace. And I had a dream in which made me afraid, and the thoughts and imaginations and the visions of my head as I was lying on my bed troubled and agitated me. I made a decree to bring all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they may make known to me the interpretation of the dream. The magicians, the enchanters, the Chaldeans, the astrologers, they all came in, and I told them the dream, but they could not make known to me the interpretation of it. But at last, Daniel came in before me, he who is called Belteshazzar, after the name of my God, did you hear that? In whom is the spirit of the holy God. And I told him the dream before him, saying, O Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians,
Because I know the Spirit of the Most Holy God is in you, and no secret mystery is a burden or troubles you, tell me the vision of my dream that I may have seen, and give me interpretation of it. The visions of my head as I lay on my bed were these. I saw, and behold, there was a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew and was strong, and its height reached to the heavens, and the sight of it reached to the end of the whole earth. The leaves were fair, its fruit abundant, and in it was fruit for all, food for all. The living creatures of the field found shade under it. The birds of the sky dwelt in its branches, and all the flesh fed from it. I saw in the visions of my head, as I lay on my bed, behold, a watcher, a holy one, came down from heaven, and he cried aloud and said, cut down the tree and cut off its branches, shake off its leaves, scatter its fruit. Let the living creatures flee from under it and the fowls from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of its roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze, in the midst of the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet in the dew of heavens, and let him share with the lot of the living creatures in the grass of the earth. Let his nature and understanding be changed from a man's, and let a beast's nature and understanding be given to him, and let seven times or years pass over him. This sentence is by the decree of the heavenly watchers, and the decision is by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High God rules the kingdom of mankind and gives it to whomever he will and sets over the humblest and lowliest of men. This dream I, Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. And you, O Belteshazzar, declare now its interpretation, since all the wise men of the kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation, but you are able, for the Spirit of the Holy God is in you. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished and dismayed, and stricken dumb for a while concerning the king's destiny. And his thoughts troubled and agitated and alarmed him. And the king said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or its interpretation trouble or alarm you. And Belteshazzar answered, my lord, may the dream be for you, for those who hate you, and its measure for your enemies. The tree that you saw, which grew great and was strong, whose height reached to the heavens, which was visible to all the earth, whose foliage was beautiful and its fruit abundant, on which was food for all, under which the living creatures of the field dwelt, and all whose branches of the trees of the birds of the sky had their nests. It is you, O king. You have grown and become strong. Your greatness has increased and reaches to the heavens, your dominion to the entire ends of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven, saying, cut the tree down and destroy it, but leave the stump its roots in the earth with a band of iron and bronze around it, in the tender grass of the field, let it be him be wet with the dew of the heavens, and let his portion be with the living creatures of the field until seven times or years have passed. This is the interpretation, O king. It is the decree of the Most Holy God, which has come upon my lord the king. You shall be driven from among the men, and dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and you shall be made to eat grass as do the oxen, and you shall be wet with the dew of the heavens, and seven times or years shall pass over you, until you learn and know and recognize that the Most High God rules the kingdom of mankind and gives it to whomever he will. And in that it is commanded to leave the stump of the roots of the tree. Your kingdom shall be sure to you after you have learned and know that the Lord God of heaven rules. Therefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable to you. Break off your sins and show repentance and righteousness. Liberate yourself from your iniquities by showing mercy and kindness to the poor, and therefore possibly there might be a continuance and lengthening of your peace and healing of your error. All this was fulfilled, came upon Nebuchadnezzar. What do you think so far? Does God know the score? Does God know the score? Does God not know about every single person, including ourselves, those we work under, those we interact with, those in our community, those in authority over us, those in parliament, those... Does God know everybody? Now, does God care about everybody? Or did he just blow them off? I think he wants to talk to everybody as clearly as he talked to Nebuchadnezzar, and I believe he does speak clearly. And now the answer is, what does man or woman do with it? Well, as Norm mentioned, time passes. Here's the rest of the story. At the end of 12 months, Nebuchadnezzar was walking in the royal palace of Babylon, and the king said, oh, by the way, here's a little aside. How big do you think Babylon was in Nebuchadnezzar's day? Now remember, he basically influenced the entire world. So do you think he was in a 4,000 square foot house? Cheryl, here's a little history for you. To go around the walls of Babylon was to travel 60 miles. Are you with me? 60 miles. The walls were considered to be 350 feet high. So take 10 feet, 8 to 10 feet per story. That's how high. How high were the walls? Come on, stay with me now. Thank you. 35 to 40 stories high. Not your average little wooden palisade that guards from Indian attack, like we have in this country. The walls were 87 feet thick, which means you could drive 2 to 3 chariots abreast across the top of the wall, and there were 25 gates around the entire wall. And Nebuchadnezzar was out having a walk. Is this not the great Babylon that I have built? The royal residence, the seat of government, by the might of my power and the honor and glory of my majesty. Well, I think if you walked around and saw that, wouldn't it start to really put a little pride in your mind? Yeah, I'm pretty good. God's sakes, I'm good. While the words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you. You shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling will be with the living creatures of the field. You will be made to eat like grass as oxen. 7 times your year shall pass over you until you've learned and know that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he will. That very hour, the thing was in being process of being fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from among men. He ate grass like oxen, as Daniel had said he would. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like eagle's feathers and his nails were like bird's claws. Let's have the picture. This is an artist's rendering of what Nebuchadnezzar must have looked like. His hair became like eagle's feathers and his nails became like bird's claws. And he crawled on the face of the earth and he ate what? Grass like the oxen. What do you make of that? Well, at the end of the days of 7 years, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my understanding and the right use of my mind returned to me, and I blessed the Most High God, and I praised and honored and glorified him who lives forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. And God does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, what are you doing? Now at the same time, my reason and understanding returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom and the majesty and splendor returned to me, and my counselors and my lord sought me out. I was reestablished in my kingdom, and I was still, and still more greatness than ever before was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, whose works are faithful and right and whose works are just. And those who walk in pride, God is able to abase, or as you have in that scripture, put down. Family, what do you hear? What do you see? What do you think? What do you think? Talk to me. God is in control. How often? God is in control in everything. What happens is, as Paul says, we see through a glass darkly. We get a little bit of the picture. We get a little bit of the understanding. It's often obscured. Is there anything unclear for God? Is there anything confusing to him? Is there anything that surprises him? Is there anything he doesn't know about you? He already knows how many days we have. He knows our hairs on our head are numbered. Who's Who's sitting in the house on Downer Street while Richard is here? Who's sitting with his wife in their house right now? God is. He's in charge. And what was interesting is God even told Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar, you have the right to know what's going to happen, and in your free will you choose what? To repent? Or I will deal with you. Now, here's something else. People, as time goes on, get very cocky. Daniel spoke to Nebuchadnezzar, and several months went by. What do you think Nebuchadnezzar could start thinking after a while, as 1 month becomes two and two become three, and there doesn't seem to be any change in his kingdom? Well, I think Daniel was wrong. I don't think Daniel knows what he's talking about. I'm doing very well. To the point that he was literally that one evening going, look at everything I've made. And at that instant, God said, you lose it because you didn't acknowledge me. Family, what does the scripture say? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And we're not afraid of him, but we are afraid in terms of we acknowledge with fearful understanding he is in charge. What is man even, that you're mindful of him? And yet how many times in scripture, like Nebuchadnezzar, God comes down and he says, I want to talk to you. Jesus walking along, he sees a little bazoo up in a tree, a little tax collector, and he says, Zacchaeus, come on down, I want to have supper at your house, I want to talk to you. He walks up to another guy, he says, what do you want me to do? I'm blind, can you help me? Sure. He meets a woman at the well. Bring your husband. He already knew what? She had a whole bunch of husbands. But he took time to talk to her. The reality first, and I want to leave these two thoughts with you. Number one, God knows everything you're going through. He wants to talk to you. If necessary, he'll shake your tree. God has a marvelous way of knowing how to shake our trees, and it's not necessarily to see us shake. Satan wants that. Fears. God has said, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but what? Power, love, and a sound mind. The flip side is, we still have a free will. Daniel warned the king, and for 12 months, what did the king do? Nothing. Yeah, right. He ignored him. Until the point is that I think God says in all of our lives, enough is enough. It's time for you to recognize that I'm in authority. And so that should give us all confidence. The Lord's in charge. What does it look like to really rest when he's in charge? Well, maybe we need to explore that more this week. Let the Lord lead you. Let the Lord guide you. And as you saw in the movie on Friday night, where the lady finally said, I've been in control of my life. I surrender to you. You be in charge. And the other reality is when we're praying for situations, we also believe that God knows how to deal with them. And believe me, I can't tell you how many times I've been wrong. Because I know how they should be dealt with. Then we'll talk about it. And God goes, nope, I got other plans. What's interesting, too, is when God works, God always brings closure. Did he just have Nebuchadnezzar go off and start eating grass and have his hair grow and his nails grow and that's the end of the story? No. I see a God who is willing to let people realize it's time to make changes and it's time to get my act together. And you know what, family? He knows how to outwait every one of us. Why? Because he loves you and I enough to let you and I flounder at times if necessary until we acknowledge God is in charge. Totally in charge. And there's nothing more to say. And so, family, I hope with all the things that are going on in our country and everything else that's happening in your life and my life, that we step back and we go, you are God,
and you're in charge, and I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to believe for every member of my family, and I'm going to believe for everyone I work with, and I'm going to believe for whoever I have to deal with, that you're working in their life, but most of all, Lord, you work in my life. And you do what you have to do. And I want to get to the point where I'm able to say, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he's God. And I have a heavenly Father who loves me. So na-na, boo-boo, no. Yes, I have a God who loves me. And I'm going to trust him until the day I stand before him. And he says to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. All right, so I'm going to end this sermon with this. 1, 2, 3, go. Got it? Father, thank you for this day. We acknowledge that so much of what goes on around us, we have no control over. In fact, much of what goes on around us at times can be very discouraging. Yes, at times very enlightening or very hopeful. But in all of this, we need to keep the perspective. You're in charge, Father. Your Son made the universe, and you're running it with him. Holy Spirit is comforting us, and we are going to serve you with every fiber of our being until we step into eternity. Lord, my prayer is that you'd lead this congregation powerfully this week, and that they would be saying, even in their own minds and visibly at times, you are my Lord and you are my God, and there is none but you. And so we commit ourselves again. Would you walk and go with us this week, and may you remind us that greater things are yet to come. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We conclude our service together.
Father, truly, this is your world, and this is your house. And Father, it's been an honor to have you here with us this morning as we heard your word, as we sang and praised you. And Lord, I ask you to be with each and every one who is here today throughout this week and throughout the coming weeks, because you are our provider. You are in charge of our lives. And Lord, we are so grateful for that. In your Son's name, amen.